I want to communicate to you. But I need your permission. I need two things. Number one, I need your permission to be me and to jump off into what a lot of people think is crazy stuff. I'll give you plenty of Bible. You'll be overwhelmed with Scripture tonight. I'll give you plenty of facts to back up everything I say. So I need your permission for that. Secondly, I need you to pull on revelation knowledge. There's two ways that you live, by reason or revelation. When God talked to Adam and Eve in the garden, he said there's two trees here. One is the tree of life. It comes by revelation. It comes through relationship. The other tree is the knowledge of good and evil. That's reason. There's only two ways that you can live as a human being on the planet. You either live by reason or you live by revelation. If you live by reason, it'll lead you into destructive, sinful stuff every single time. If you live by revelation, it always leads to life and life more abundantly. How many of you want deep revelation tonight, heavy revelation tonight? Amen. I want us to go to a scripture. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Again, this might not be on the screen, but I'm just going to, this is going to be my launching point. We read it tonight or today in this morning service. I want to go back to it tonight. Paul, writing to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. Paul, writing to Timothy. Again, I want to tell you tonight, Timothy is the pastor of the Ephesian church, the same church where he writes Ephesians chapter 6, which we're going to preach down into in just a moment. And he's telling him about the last days. And he says, you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. And you have been called and anointed for this fight. Before I get started tonight, I want to lay a foundational principle in your heart, mind, and spirit. The church will not go down in defeat in these last days. You and I were created to win this war in the last days. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I know the spirit of the Antichrist is on the loose and everybody's pessimistic right now, but I also want to remind you that there's another spirit that's on the loose on the planet. It is the power of the Holy Ghost on the planet drawing men to repentance. So, Father, I thank you tonight for the word of the living God. Change us as we listen to it. Again, I pray that as we preach tonight, Jesus, that you'll be magnified. I pray that this church will be edified and that hell will be terrified in Jesus' name. And everybody said a big amen right there. Amen, amen, amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk to you tonight, and I'll be honest, I might do tonight, tomorrow night, and Tuesday night. I don't know exactly every service now. I kind of just get in what I feel like the Lord wants me to go, and I'm kind of filling you out as I'm doing that as well. I want to talk on this subject, strong delusion. Strong delusion. The Bible characterizes the days in which we and I live as days of strong delusion. I don't know if you have put two and two together tonight, but I figure you have because they tell me that Oklahoma people are smarter than everybody else on the planet. But you and I are living in an extremely evil age. And to be quite honest with you, it seems like evil is progressing and escalating like never before. I never dreamed when I started pastoring in 1991 at the fresh age of 21 years old as a senior pastor that I would ever see the things that I'm seeing on the planet today. Back in 1984, at the age of 14, George Orwell came out with a book, but I was 14 years old, and I was gifted George Orwell's book, 1984. How many's ever read George Orwell's book, 1984? If you have not, go home and read it. It is like a prophecy of where we are right now. Download it on Kindle or something and read this book. But in George Orwell's book, you find an entire society that has been brainwashed into accepting absurdity. In this book, the masses of people have been brainwashed by the media that war is peace, that freedom is slavery, and that ignorance is actually strength. Ladies and gentlemen, that seems too eerily similar to where we're at right now. You and I live in a world that's on its head. Right is now wrong. Wrong is now right. It is hard for me to believe that you and I sit in this church tonight while there are students gathered on some campuses of supposedly the most intellectual universities in America who are supporting a group of people who just 6 or 7 months ago slaughtered innocent human beings, raped women on video, and cut little babies in half and set their bodies on fire. And there's video evidence of it, which you can go online and see. And yet we have demonstrators who are supporting a group called Hamas and Hezbollah who are absolute terrorists. They have been brainwashed by the so-called intellectuals of our day that war is actually peace and that freedom is actually slavery, that ignorance is actually strength. Something is wrong when we call evil good and good evil. It reminds me of the French Revolution, because during the French Revolution, which was also known as a so-called Enlightenment period, during that Enlightenment period, it produced, now get this, they're supposed to be enlightened, right? It produced bloodthirsty mobs with pitchforks and torches and knives in its hands. Hundreds died daily at the guillotines. And they were, as people were dying by the hundreds at the guillotines, most of them probably innocent. The enlightened folks sat around and celebrated it and actually watched it. And many of them actually took snacks to the beheadings of innocent people. For a movement that was supposedly built on the worship of reason, the French Revolution sure produced a whole lot of nutcases, not to mention a lot of headless bodies. But yet, that was supposed to be an age of enlightenment. Now, centuries earlier, the Roman Empire also prided itself on wisdom and refinement and civilization. Eventually, the wheels started coming off the chariot of their cultural sanity. It produced emperors who had all the reasoning power of Charles Manson. Emperors like Nero, who was a known practicing pedophile and homosexual. He raped children. And yet, this is supposed to be what we call sanity. He murders innocent people to maintain power. The society that was supposed to be the most civilized society of its time, the most educated society of its time, the most enlightened society of its time, the wisest society of its time, was so messed up, they had the moral fabric of a Charles Manson running through them. They were so depraved in their mentality that their idea of entertainment was gathering in arenas, watching innocent people being torn to pieces by lions, watching slaves have to brutally murder each other, and they were heralded that as heroic. Something was wrong with that kind of thinking. What I'm trying to tell you is that the more reasonable a society becomes and the less a society has revelation, the more demonized those kind of societies become. The prophet Isaiah knew of this kind of thing, and he saw it 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he looked around at all of his neighbors and he wrote these words, "Woe." Everybody say woe. Now, he's not talking about stopping a horse there. He's warning. He says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." Ladies and gentlemen, gone are the days of common sense and character. At least in America. I can't speak for everywhere else, but it looks like it's a worldwide pandemic of stupidity going on. Come on, can I get an amen out there? Now, every single abomination is held as moral. Every single lunacy is declared as normal behavior. You and I, who believe in conservative values, are considered crazy. And people who believe in transvestites doing dances for children to let dollar bills be stuffed in their G-string in front of little children, or sitting at a public, I'm going to make people mad, I can feel it in the room, sitting at a public library reading pornography to a child in a building that our tax dollars pay for, or telling parents in California that the state owns your child and you don't have a right to talk about sexuality with your child. And if you do, Child Protective Services will come to your house and remove that child from your home. They call that normal. And they call you and I, who just simply want to worship Jesus on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night, as a bunch of lunatics because we talk to a God who supposedly isn't there. What I'm trying to preach to you tonight is that we are currently experiencing. Can I preach about it? We're currently experiencing a full-scale, multi-pronged cultural offensive that is aimed, targeted at removing once and for all traditional faith, traditional morality, remove it from our laws, remove it from our court systems, remove it from our schools, remove it from our marketplaces, and even remove it from the nuclear family. But whatever we got to do, this system says we have to remove the idea of Judeo-Christian ethics out of the mindset of the entire world. And this current war of the worlds demands no less than you and I sacrificing whatever is necessary to save a generation and potentially try to save our nation. I'm telling you, child of God, you hear this preacher tonight. I stand up here before you as a prophet. I stand up here before you like many men of God did right before the Revolutionary War. They were called the Black Coat Regiment. They were preachers who saw their nation about to lose their independence, and they ascended to the sacred desk of the pulpits of their churches, and they stirred the people up to tell them, you have been called to fight the good fight of faith. You have been anointed to win the war in the day in which you live. Come on, somebody give the Lord a yes and an amen right there. I'm warning you tonight that if we remain silent right now, all of the gains that we have made in recent years are in danger of being wiped out in a sudden and very ferocious counterattack by the forces of secularism and secular humanism. In the process, the God-given disciplines of science and the arts are being misused right now. No, they're not only being misused, they're being weaponized right now in this cultural conflict to steal the hearts of these little babies sitting in this room today. And it's high time that the church come out of their complacency and realize it is time for us to fight the good fight of faith and make a stand morally and take back our nation from the devil who is trying to destroy it. This is not about politics, because politicians don't have the authority to deal with principalities. Only the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been given the authority to make known to the principalities and powers the glory of Almighty God. Only the church, only the body of Christ has that authority. Our help is not coming from any government on the planet. It is not coming from any side of the government on the planet. It is not coming from the different branches, the legislative branch or the executive branch. It's not coming from those branches. Ladies and gentlemen, our help right now has got to come from the Lord. It is time for the church to lift up their eyes to the hills from which cometh our help. And we need to cry out to Jesus and say, Jesus, do not let our younger generation be lost in the quagmire of this fight. We will stand and we will fight and we will believe that God can rescue a generation under our eyes. We believe that in the last days God will pour out His Spirit on all flesh, and our sons and our daughters shall prophesy. Is there anybody in Woodward, Oklahoma that believes we're not too far gone, that God can't step in with the wind of the Holy Spirit and turn the nation back around? Come on, somebody make some noise if you believe it. Somebody make some noise if you believe it. If we remain silent right now, we're going to lose everything. This is not the time to be silent. This is the time to be loud. Everybody on the planet is coming out of the closet for their agenda. It's time for the church to come out of her closet and lift up the holy name of Jesus amidst a dying generation. Now, as with the Jewish resistance in Israel under the Greeks, you and I are under intense pressure to surrender our distinctiveness and to allow ourselves to be assimilated into this idolatrous, pagan, popular culture. I want you to hear me tonight. Hear me. The culture isn't demanding that we sacrifice a pig on a holy altar like Antiochus Epiphanes did. They're not demanding that. This culture is demanding something even more profane. It's demanding that we sacrifice the truth of the gospel on the altar of political and cultural correctness. This is what this agenda is demanding. They want us to stop proclaiming that Jesus is the only way, that Jesus is the only name whereby men can be saved. They don't have a problem with any other God in this nation. They only have a problem with Jesus. And the reason they have a problem with our God is because we're monotheistic and we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father except through the Lord Jesus. So they want us to stop proclaiming that Jesus is the only way. There is a price that you and I are going to have to pay to save this generation, to restore this nation, to revitalize the civilization in which we live. The question tonight is, are you and I willing to pay the price to do what it takes to receive a move of God one more time in America? I believe that the commander of the host of heaven is standing by to grace our efforts, our prayers, and to give us the victory if we will only summon the courage to fight the good fight of faith. Now, I don't know about you, but I was built for the battle that I'm in right now. I was created for the conflict. I didn't come to march in a parade. I came to fight the war that is coming to the doorstep of my house. Because I have children and I've got two little babies, two little grandchildren, Ezra who is 6 and Ellie who is 4, and I refuse to let the devil have my grandchildren. Listen to me. Heaven will not be heaven without your family. So you better stand up right now and you better fight the good fight of faith. And let me tell you what it's going to mean for you. It's going to mean you're going to be marginalized. It's going to mean some people are going to leave this church because you're taking a stand. It's going to mean you might have to lose some friends. Ladies and gentlemen, we are fighting literally a civil war, not of races, but of ideologies. And we don't even know who's on each other's side. We're in the most dangerous, deadly day that we have ever lived in human history. But the good news is, Jesus always causes us to triumph. And when the world is at its worst, they deserve to see a church at her best. This is the greatest time in the history of the world for the church to let her light shine in the midst of the darkness. Could you give the Lord a praise right there if you know I'm telling the truth? Stop trying to march in the parade of the culture. And somebody, for God's sake, rise up and lead an army of deliverance. Today, I believe that God is looking for a few people who will stand in the gap to save many. A saving remnant is what the Bible calls it. I believe that He's seeking for a people who will take seriously the Bible's call to lay aside every single weight and every sin that does so easily beset and ensnare us, that we might run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I believe that He is looking now for what I believe is the greatest generation. I I know World War I and II was the greatest generation, but I believe there's another greatest generation in the body of Christ, and He has focused His heavenly eternal gaze upon us here in Oklahoma. And I'm just telling you tonight that a perspective view of the ages covered by the history in Bible records shows, listen to me, it shows that the rise and fall of spiritual power of the people of God was marked by the recognition or the lack thereof of the demonic host of evil that was working in the atmosphere. Now that just went over your head, so I'm going to explain. When the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the old and in the new dispensations was at its highest point of spiritual power in the scriptures, the leaders of those nations and of the believers at that time recognized and also drastically dealt with the invisible forces of Satan that was invading their culture. Contrary, whenever those leaders did not recognize the satanic forces at work and what they were doing in their culture, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ was at its lowest point. So I've got a question tonight. Why the church in the 20th and 21st century has not recognized the existence and workings of evil supernatural forces can only be attributed to its low condition of spiritual life and power. I travel over 100 times a year. I preach over 100 times a year other than my church. And I'm telling you, the church in America is in trouble. I've been telling people this for 10 years, for a decade. We're in trouble. And the reason we're in trouble is because we don't have the power of God anymore. We have great rhetoric. We have great buildings. We have great lighting packages. We have great technology, but we are void of the power of God. Exactly what Paul warned Timothy, in the last days it would be perilous times. And he comes down and he says, for they will have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof. Oh, that the Holy Ghost would once again move in the body of Christ in great authority and power and signs and wonders, and that God could demonstrate Himself again. And God is looking for a people who recognize that these are demonic, deadly days. He's looking for a people that will wake up. So the same man who wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 12, fight this good fight of faith whereunto you are called. You're called to fight this war. That same man penned these words in Ephesians chapter 6. Just follow the screen because we're going to move right now. In Ephesians chapter 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks, the strategies of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is that the historical record records that when the body of Christ and its leaders does not recognize the satanic infiltration into the culture in which they live, they are at their lowest and they have a lack of demonstration and power in their midst. But whenever the body of Christ and its leaders has seen that the devil is at work, acknowledged it, and rose up to make a stand against it, the power of God showed up to accompany them, like Elijah the prophet on the Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. When they did all that they could do, Elijah knelt down and prayed a simple prayer, and God rained fire down from heaven. If you think that the devil is going to be able to invade this culture in the last days and God is going to leave it unanswered, you don't know the God that I serve. I'm telling you, just as sure as God rained fire down in Elijah's day, He's the same God today who can rain fire down in the generation in which we live. I want to show you just how demonized our culture has become. I'm going to ask them to play the first video and turn the volume up, guys. Turn the volume up on this video.
Had an epic night at the 2023 Grammys. The duo hit the stage to deliver a majorly racy performance of their hit song, Unholy. Kim was seen on stage in a cage surrounded by dancers with whips. Sam rocked a bright red top hat with horns while belting out the song for the audience, and the crowd went wild for their performance.
Sam, thank you. You're a true angel and hero in my life, and I love you. And everyone who made the song, too. I love you guys so much.
Earlier in the night, the pair won Best Pop Duo Group Performance for their hit song, Unholy. And while accepting the award, Kim was so excited to make history as the first transgender woman to win in the category.
Sam graciously wanted me to accept this award because I'm the first transgender woman to win this award. And I'm so... Thank you.
This, ladies and gentlemen, was the Grammys. This is considered the apex of entertainment in our society. Used to, entertainers hid behind closed doors what they did in spiritual things. But now many of America's major pop culture entertainers are telling you blatantly and proudly that they are taking part in satanic rituals where they are giving their lives to Satan, making a contract literally with the devil, shedding animals' blood and covering self in that blood so that they can get fame, popularity, and wealth. And they're bringing it to the platforms of the American culture. Your kids are watching this on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook. I know, parents, you think they don't see it, but I'm telling you, they have a 24-hour barrage of invasion of demonic spirits and lies from the evil one, trying to cause a strong delusion to set in on their minds so that they will believe a lie. And parents are setting by and letting their kids do this because they don't want to invade their prophecy. And they don't want to get all up in their business. They need to learn how to be an individual. Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to learn how to be a mama and daddy according to the scripture. Stop trying to be their friend and start being their mama and daddy and raise them in the fear, the admonition of the Lord, and dispel the lie and stop the delusion. Come on, somebody shout yes in this room. Anytime an entertainer who is, what in his own admission, non-binary, genderly confused. And I'm going to tell you right now, this gender confusion is more than a fad. It is a demonic strategy of the devil to trap a generation. If you read Romans chapter 1, I know your pastor's been preaching through it. There is a cycle of judgment. Here's the way it works. When a nation comes under judgment, first of all, there's a sexual revolution. The next phase of it is a homosexual revolution. The third dimension of it is an absolute depravity of mind that sets in where everything has gone wild. If you think they're going to stop right there, you have believed a lie. They are coming for your children. I said they are coming for your children. But I want Hollywood to know, and I want politicians to know, I want Democrats and Republicans to know, it will be over my dead body before you will get to my children or my grandchildren. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I've been called to win this war. And it's everything from music to attire. Put up the next picture. This is Lil Nas with his great 666 shoes. So, hey, let's just put the mark of the beast right on our Nikes. And then let's mock God by putting Luke 10:18. Behold, you'll tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy right on the front of it. Let's send a mixed message that you can worship the devil and you can worship God. I'm telling you right now, child of God, listen to me. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in heaven's gate. You're either knocking on heaven's door or you're knocking on hell's door. You can't have a mixture. A mixture, the Bible says, is an abomination. It's an abomination. And it's time that the church stop playing these games that we're playing in the body of Christ. Draw a line in the sand and teach a generation what holiness unto the Lord looks like again. Come on, somebody. Oh, you don't think anything about that? Well, let's talk about something that's a collaborative project for the whole world. CERN. CERN. CERN is a particle accelerator in Geneva, Switzerland. And they're trying with CERN to open a portal. I want you to play that next video if you can. Now, what you're seeing here is out in front of CERN is Shiva, that big round sculpture. Shiva is the Indian god of destruction. Why in the world would multinations settle as their statue outside a scientific project, the god of destruction? An particle accelerator in which they're trying to discover the God gene. I thought they didn't believe in God. Come on. Not only the discover the God gene, but to be able to potentially open the door to various portals. What I want you to see out there is this is the dedication ceremonies that was going on at CERN when they opened it. It is definitely satanic in its ritual. They're doing satanic, paganistic rituals dedicating a scientific project that is multi-global. Don't tell me the nations of the world and the rulers of the world don't understand what's going on in the spirit realm. That they might be ignorant, but they're not totally ignorant. They are privy to what is going on. Now, guess what they did? They fired up CERN to its full power the first time on April the 8th because of the eclipse that was passing by. So while the eclipse, which is an omen according to the scripture, is passing over us in Geneva, Switzerland, they're firing up a particle accelerator trying to open a portal to a different dimension. And if that wasn't bad enough, at the exact same time that they're doing that, there's a comet that's flying overhead, a comet that's flying over the eclipse. That is called, is named after the devil. And then if that's not bad enough, NASA is launching 3 rockets into the shadow of the eclipse and gives all 3 rockets, names all 3 rockets after destruction. Something demonic. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, the secular society, all the way from the popular musicians and performers, all the way down to presidents, they understand what they're doing and they're willingly selling their soul to the devil. And it's time for the church to quit making excuses for them and to make a stand for righteousness. This is not about Democrats and Republicans. This is about good and evil. Period. I don't care what your party affiliation is, or even if you don't have one. This is about good and evil. And if we're going to save a generation, the body of Christ has got to quit fighting over politics, and we got to come together around the word of the living God, and we got to make a stand and not bow our knee to this culture. Now, CERN, here's something interesting about CERN. Can I plow just a little bit more? I'm almost done. Here's something really interesting about CERN. This ought to shock you. It is built right over the temple of Apollo. It's built right over the temple of Apollo, also known in Greek as Apollyon. Now, let me read a scripture to you in Revelation chapter 9 that I think actually might tell us what's going on. Now remember, CERN is trying to open dimensions. I don't think they understand what they're doing, but listen to what Revelation 9 says. The fifth angel sounded. I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke rose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun, the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came up out of the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions over the earth have power. And they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or anything green. Sounds like the green agenda, doesn't it? Or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They're not going after everybody. Just after the ones who are dedicated to God. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locust was like the horses prepared for battle. And their heads, on their heads were crowns of something like gold. And their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair. Their teeth was like a lion's teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tail, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. Now notice this phrase, and they had as a king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek is named Apollyon. So here in the middle of the tribulation period, it predicts that some angelic force is going to deliver a key. What if it's a knowledge key? It's going to deliver a key, and somebody's going to have the ability to open a dimension. And when they do, demonic forces are going to come out of that dimension into our dimension and cause harm on people. Now, for years, I could never explain that passage of Scripture, how that's going to happen. Now, we've got not only a particle accelerator where they're trying to do this, over the temple of Apollyon, where the bottomless pit is supposed to be, but now they're building one twice the size. They're building one twice the size. If y'all could see your faces right now, you say, well, I just don't, Pastor. You're just trying, you know, you're just trying to be political and tying all kinds of crazy stuff together. You're just, no. I'm heralding a warning to you. I'm heralding a warning to you, and I'm going to prove it to you. You remember that goddess Shiva out in front of CERN? The goddess Shiva? Put up the next picture. Put up the next picture. Why would Newsweek magazine publish this? Why would Newsweek magazine have our former president in the exact pose as the goddess Shiva in front of CERN, and you still don't think that they know what's going on or they have any kind of inkling of what they're doing? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the secular side of the world has become satanic and demonic, and it is invading our culture at every turn. In politics, in science, in art, in music, and it's even in our churches right now causing strong delusion. We are bowing our knee to something demonic, and it's taking over. But there's still enough time, because God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, I'll hear from heaven, and I'll heal their land. And you don't think CERN's a problem? Well, let's look at their logo. This is their logo. Three sixes intertwined. Three sixes intertwined. All right. I want everybody to go to the scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 32, and I'm closing. Y'all okay? Here's the problem. We needed about three times this amount of people here. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to hit this next scripture, and then I'm going to stop tonight, and then tomorrow night we're going to come back and we're going to go deeper. You say it gets worse than this? We're going to go deeper. Amen. Because I'm trying to wake you up to what we're dealing with. Remember, I laid out the foundation. You are called to this battle, and you've already determined to be victorious in this battle. You will win if you don't quit. We can't surrender to the spirit of the age. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 32. Guys, I'm going to skip some stuff. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. We're going to look at two passages of Scripture here, maybe three, and then I'm closing. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 8. When the Most High appointed the nations, when he divided humankind, he fixed boundaries of the people according to the number of the gods. Now, this is the New American Standard Version and is actually the correct translation. I know there's many translations sitting in this room, and some of them will say, what's another translation? He apportioned it according to the number of what? What's your translation say? Y'all's Bible is open, isn't it? The sons of God, what's that? The heavenly court, what's other translations? The children of Israel. Most translations say the children of Israel. Here's the correct translation from the Hebrew. When the Most High appointed the nations, when he divided humankind, when he fixed boundaries of peoples, he did it according to the number of the gods. And in Hebrew, it is the Hebrew word Elohim. Paul made this statement. You and I are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this prey and spiritual wickedness in high places. The battle that we are fighting is right above our head. He wants us to think we're fighting each other. But we're not fighting each other. This scripture is teaching you that when God set the boundaries of nations and people groups, he did it and he assigned angelic forces, high-ranking angelic forces, high-ranking spiritual beings called Elohim. You say, well, I thought Elohim was God. Because in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. The problem is, Elohim, in the Eastern culture, is a title for high-ranking spiritual beings. And at least 6 to 7 times in the scripture, I can show you where the word Elohim is used and associated with evil spiritual beings, not always with God. Now, God is the chief spiritual being. There's many Elohim, but there's only one Jehovah. Amen? There's many Elohim. These are high-ranking spiritual beings. So watch this. Look at me. I'm trying to teach you something very important tonight. In every city, in every state, in every nation, on every continent, on the four corners of the earth, there are spiritual beings that have been assigned there. Some righteous spiritual beings. And you know if God assigned high-ranking angelic forces over, let's say, over Woodward, then Satan also has assigned high-ranking spiritual beings over those same territories as well. So when Paul writes Timothy, fight the good fight of faith to which you are called. Again, only the church has the ability. Because we are, well, I feel something rolling. I just want to take off running when I think about this. You and I are seated in heavenly places. Listen, there's high-ranking spiritual beings over this region that are holding Woodward captive. Spirits of religion. Spirits of immorality. Spirits of addiction. They are here in this region. They have been assigned here by the devil to hold this region captive. And there's only one group of people on the planet who have the authority to break the chains of wickedness. And the Bible says you and I have been raised up and made to be seated in heavenly places in Christ. Listen to this. In Christ Jesus, far above principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named in the earth. Who has the authority? In Woodward, Oklahoma, First Assembly of God has authority according to the scripture. In Woodward, Oklahoma, who has authority? Who has authority in America? Is it the president? Is it Congress? No. Who has authority? The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got authority. Who's got authority over the seven continents? It's the body of Christ. We have been raised up. Come on, somebody shout, we're winners. We're not losers. And here's what's crazy. These spiritual forces are usurpers. Right now, I was asked to be on Fox News about the homeless situation all over America. I happened to be in Portland, Oregon, and I was out there preaching, and I did a little filming because Portland and Seattle used to be some of the most beautiful cities in America. My wife and I used to love to go there. Northern California, some of the most beautiful terrain in the world is right here in our own nation. Anybody ever been out there? If you've never been to Northern California and rode Highway 1 up the coast through Big Sur, going all the way up to Washington National Park, up into Oregon, you have not seen beauty yet. It's beauty beyond your mind's ability to comprehend. A picture cannot capture it. We used to love to go, but every time I go to Portland or Seattle or I go to San Francisco or Los Angeles to preach the gospel, I am overwhelmed by the population of homelessness and derelicy that is marching in the streets. People setting up tent camps in some of the most beautiful neighborhoods on the planet, and the value of businesses and homes plummeting into the basement as a result of it. One day I was walking around. I said, Lord, I wish these governments would do something about this homelessness. He said the natural is just a manifestation of the spiritual. And I said, what do you mean, Lord? He said these ruling spirits over territories are squatters. He said they have come into territories like Woodward, Oklahoma, with their addiction, with their derelicity, with their immorality, with their division, and they set up camps, demonic camps, in the power of the air. They set them up over an area, and they keep the schools impoverished and bound. They keep people in chains of bondage. And I said, Lord, what can you do about it? He said, I've already given you the victory. You own the land. I've already told you, everywhere that you set the sole of your foot, I'd give it to you as an inheritance. He said, it belongs to you. He said, the problem is the body of Christ, just like different political groups, have surrendered to the lawless spirit in the atmosphere, so it manifests in the streets. And he said, the church also, I can tell this is not setting well, but I'll just stay right here and... You don't know me. If I know it's making you mad, I'll just preach it that much harder. Just come on. If you don't like it, smile and I'll move on, okay? But here's what's happening. The church is giving up territory. I'm going to give you a shocker here. 67% of Protestant and evangelicals do not believe in a literal devil. 67%. Of evangelicals surveyed do not believe in a literal devil. I want you to think about that. And it has rendered such a powerless church, such an ignorant church. Here's how powerless we are. Did you know that 97% of people in America will live and die in America and not get one invitation to church? Even in Bible belts, you can take a pen right now and put it on this church, drive, or do a 5-mile radius, and you will find that 87 to 90% that live in that 5-mile radius, they might say they're a member of a church, but they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ personally. Here's what you'll find. 87 to 90% don't go to church anywhere on a Sunday, a Wednesday, or any other time. They don't go to church, yet they think they're Christians. They think they're right. How did they get there? I'll tell you how. By this pablum, weak preaching stuff we've done in pulpits. We stop preaching the power of God. We stop preaching the anointing of God. We stop preaching the holiness of God. We stop preaching the unadulterated truth of God's holy word. We stop preaching it, and we have given our culture over to evil forces. But I've come tonight to stir you up and say one more time, Jesus, would you come back into America with a mighty great awakening like you did at the turn of the century? Would you once again blow your spirit from the East Coast to the West Coast, from the southern border to the Canadian border? Would you rescue a generation, and would you revive this civilization? Can we see God do it one more time? Can I see God do it one more time? I'm going to prophesy, I will see God do it one more time. How many want to see that? So here's what we're going to do. I want you to bow your head.